Do you have your shirt on?
Last I checked, I did. Yes, why?
Do you have your shirt on?
Wagrats Radio, episode 6, 14 West Coast, with OMG Reds.
Hello, Reds fans. This is Mike from WhackReds.com. You're listening to Whack Reds Radio, episode 6, with Dan from OMGReds.com. How's it going, Dan?
Good, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
Doing good. First off, we want to ask for a pitch of your site. As far as I could trace back, you started it on January 9th, 2008. As you stray from the box score, you seem to offer a fan's point of view of the Reds.
Yeah, you know, to kind of sum us up in a sentence or two would be to, I guess, provide a kind of irreverent point of view on the Reds and being a fan and kind of stepping away from, you know, breaking down the box score every night and just kind of talk about, you know, what we do as Reds fans, whether it's, you know, going to the game, you know, having a hot dog helmet Sunday or, you know, Reds Fest or just the kind of accoutrement that goes with, you know, being a fan and just kind of providing, you know, a different kind of an extra viewpoint to the Reds blog sphere, I guess.
The Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline is approaching real soon on the 31st of July. Who do you think the Reds need to get, if anybody, to compete the rest of the season? And is there anybody you'd unload or trade?
Well, that's kind of a tough one. I think in light of the Dan Heron trade, was it Diamondbacks and the Angels? I think actually I kind of always liked Dan Heron, so that kind of would have been a nice pickup. And I think even like Red Light Nation even had posted something about, like, you know, Jockety may have been able to put a package that was maybe even better than that to get Heron. But, you know, with the depth of starting pitching that we have at the big league level and in the minor leagues, it's kind of a tough call. Like, we don't have any glaring, you know, weaknesses, but we don't have anything, you know, like overly strong positives that, you know, you can't say that we can't improve in any one area. So I think that's a little tough. I don't know. There's a lot of me that just kind of likes the team where it is, and, you know, I kind of see where Jockety's point of view is on that. But at the same time, if we can get a solid reliever to complement Arthur Rhodes, like, you know, I'd probably be willing to give up, depending on who it is. Yonder Alonso would probably be in that mix a little bit, but you got to consider it's going to be a rental for the half a season. Tough call. Totally tough call.
And like you said, Jockety must be happy with his players as they released Gary Matthews Jr. a few days ago.
Yeah, I think we all breathed a big sigh of relief when that happened the other day.
Okay, along with the non-waiver trade deadline on July 31st, Homer Bailey is going to have a bobblehead night. you've got a somewhat obsession with bobbleheads on your site. Do you have a favorite bobblehead that you've received in the past? And maybe what kind of bobblehead would you like to see in the future?
I've been to most of the bobblehead games that the Reds had, even going back to 2001. So there wasn't many that I missed. And I don't have like a Johnny Bench one, never got that one. But there was one that was when they did Marty and Joe bobblehead night. They had like a little duel. And I think I missed that because I was out of town. My wife and I were on vacation. So I never got around to getting that. One of my coworkers at the time actually had an extra one and actually gave it to me as a kind of a wedding present. So that was a kind of a nice one, and that's kind of always a special one just because it kind of came along with you know, the thought of the, you know, the wedding present. So as far as who we'd like to see, or, you know, I posted something on Twitter today, you know, how did the Homer Bailey bobblehead, how did that happen, with a little bit of snark attached to that. I don't know if Homer would have been my first choice, but I think as the season's gone on, I kind of agree with a lot of people. Like an Arthur Rhodes one would be pretty sweet. As far as it was just kind of hard to tell at the beginning of the season, you're voting in April. I think a lot of people just didn't know who Arthur was, didn't have a handle on, you know, how, if Orlando Cabrera was going to be any good and, you know, whoever else was in the list. And so it's probably kind of a tough decision, and Homer Bailey kind of probably netted out just being the one that I think everybody kind of identifies with the most.
We all know that, we're currently celebrating the 20th anniversary of the 1990 World Championship Reds. Do you have a favorite Red from that team, and do you have a favorite moment from that year?
I think favorite's kind of tough. You know, when I was a kid, I think I was in love with Chris Sabo all the way. I think even at one point in my Little League career, I had donned some racquetball specs and wore them in a game just to, you know, kind of act like Chris at the time, and totally was, you know, completely embarrassing now that I look at it. But, you know, and I've always loved Chris, and I'm really glad he's in the Hall of Fame. But I think over time, you know, I think Barry Larkin, just like a lot of people in town, has really kind of become the front runner as my favorite Red from that era. As far as, like, favorite moment, man, I don't think I was able to go to too many games when I was a kid at that time. So, like, even just being around it wasn't necessarily there. But I do specifically remember watching, you know, the games on TV, the, you know, when they played the Pirates in NLDS and then onto the World Series. And I think the point that stands out the most to me out of that whole World Series was when Glenn Bragg broke the bat over his back. I was just totally stunned when I was a kid that that could even happen. So, you know, it's kind of a goofy moment, and it wasn't really indicative of, you know, the team and winning the championship or anything like that, but it was just such a moment of, like, holy cow, that happened. I think it just kind of sticks out a little bit ahead of everything else.
This year we've got an extreme overflow of starting pitchers. That's obviously a good thing. What do you see from Aroldis Chapman, Travis Wood, Maloney, Bailey on the DL? Edinson Volquez is coming back. Mike Leake's innings are being monitored. We've acquired Russ Springer, Jason Isringhausen. Just give me a general outlook on the Reds pitching situation right now.
Wow. It's like we have a swimming pool full of pitchers. Like, you can just dive in and, like, you know, you're going to come up with something. So it's tough. I think, obviously it's a good problem to use that cliche, but you know, obviously you got to get to the point where you're going to make decisions. So, you know, more and more, like, as I'm reading what John Fay's writing, and, like, I can really kind of believe in, Aroldis Chapman coming up as a reliever. It just seems like, you know, he's not ready to start right now. And from, I think somebody asked him the other night on Twitter, like, how he's doing in the relief role. And he's getting a little more and more solid, even though I don't think we hear about it, you know, every day. So it'll be neat to see him. I think he'll be up. And obviously, given our relief pitching situation, I think they'll at least give him a try before it becomes, you know, down to the itty-bitty end of the stretch run. I think they'll give him a shot. As far as the rest of the guys, hopefully Volquez, you know, is just on the path that he was taking during his rehab start, and he just keeps on trucking. It's a great problem to have. You know, hopefully Homer will, you know, hopefully his rehab assignment will go pretty well. And a great problem to have. Can't put it any other way.
What about the Isringhausen and Russ Springer signings? What do you see
guys doing? Yeah, I got to admit, I don't know much about those guys. I know Isringhausen pitched for the Cards and was pretty good. So, and I think, did he have elbow surgery? Is that right?
He had Tommy John, and it was actually in the same point in his career that Arthur Rhodes had his surgery. So.
Okay, right. So, might as well take a flyer on those guys.
Could be a good thing.
Yeah. So, and Russ Springer, I was like, I had to kind of dig deep to remember that name, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know, good chance to learn about those guys, right?
It's an inexpensive option, I guess.
True. Yep.
Staying on the topic of pitching, I got to ask you, what is your obsession with Sam LaCure? I've noticed on the blog you've got a jersey, and post after post, it's LaCure, LaCure, LaCure.
Well, it goes back to last season. I think we've picked up more of a following this year, and I think there's a lot of backstory to us and Sam LaCure that probably hasn't played out properly to at least, like, tell the story. And the basic premise was last year when the Reds did their fan choice bobblehead, they had it open to the entire 40-man roster. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of guys on the roster that a lot of people hadn't heard of, us included. And I think we were kind of thinking, like, you know, I think people are going to pick I think we were thinking Votto or I'm sorry, Votto had one, but like Cueto, Volquez, something in that area. It wasn't the entire 40-man, it was all the pitching. It was all the pitchers on the 40-man. That's what it was. So we kind of just made a decision as a group to kind of, you know, front-runner a guy that nobody really knew about, and just to see if we could even make a dent in the voting. And we picked Sam, and kind of the more we learned about Sam, like, he's actually pitching really well in Louisville at the time. Yeah, there was a lot of reason to actually root for him. And so, you know, yeah, on one hand, you know, there was a little bit of joke behind it, but it was actually kind of a lot of fun, like, getting to know, you know, Sam from just a player point of view. And then kind of as things picked up and move along, and people are actually, heck yeah, I'll, you know, vote for Sam. I actually got a note from his wife, and they were actually loving it, and all his whole family were just loving it and voting every day and getting into it. And so we actually kind of, you know, they kind of became friends in some way. I don't know Sam personally or anything like that, but yeah, like, we're all, like, big fans of his now. So by the time the voting ended, I think who got the fan choice last year? I'm actually totally blanking on it now. I think it was Volquez, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, he gets it, and I got a note from Michael Anderson at the Res, and I think Sam ended up coming in third and actually made a pretty significant dent in the overall vote. So, pat on the back to ourselves. But it's totally a goofy thing, you know, obviously. But it was a lot of fun. And then the fact that, like, Sam, you know, you pitched pretty well in spring training when, you know, he got the chance to start in Cincinnati. We were just, like, besides ourselves. So it's been a lot of fun. And I've got a Sam Lacour jersey up in my closet right now, ready to bust out when he comes back, right?
Very nice. Very nice. So far this season, I've sported a Gomes Hawk off and on.
Nice.
And I'm currently working on a Corky Miller mustache.
Wow.
Do you have any rituals? Like you said, you rocked the Chris Sabo goggles back in the day, and I've also seen you rock the fleece during some games on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any rituals or fads that, you know, you're a fan of?
You know, I think I kind of got away from it. I think I got to the point where I can't let anything affect me. Like, when I played baseball, I had my little things, and certainly when I played football, actually more than I did baseball, and always having the wristbands on the same side, and, you know, just little things like that, but... I really don't have any, like, as a fan rituals that I have to do. You'd think so, but pretty loosey-goosey when it comes to that.
On April 1st this year, you pulled a fast one on anybody who follows your blog. If anybody listening doesn't know, you changed your site to OMG Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And you played a nice little number as you were searching your site, Never Gonna Give You Up from Rick Astley. What was behind that? You had me fooled.
Actually, I'd had the thought a couple years ago to just, you know, switch the site over to some Cubs-themed thing. I mean, we were switching our fanhood to the north side for April Fools, and it kind of just timing never worked out, and I never had it. And actually, one of the other OMG Reds guys, his girlfriend was talking to me, and she's like, "You know what you do? You should totally, like, do a Cubs site for April Fools." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, that's, I've already had that idea." So it kind of cemented it as, like, we got to do this. And even when we did it this year, it was totally last minute. I, you know, busted butt over, like, overnight, get everything switched over and have all the, you know, server redirects and all that stuff work. But, you know, we kind of just wanted to yank everybody's chain a little bit. And, you know, obviously no malice, you know, intended whatsoever to our fan base or Reds in general. But, you know, it was something kind of fun, and it was something that we could do, because, you know, we're just a little off kilter, I guess, in our attitude towards, you know, our blogging and things like that. And, you know, I think some of the bigger Reds blogs, like, probably are not able to do that. So since we could kind of be a little more quick and nimble and kind of mess with everybody a little bit. So as a result, we actually got a lot of nice notes from people that were like, "Hey, you know, totally." And of course, beforehand, I kind of set it up where, you know, I'm like, "I'm not doing this anymore. We're going to move on, yada, yada, yada." And we had a lot of nice notes of saying, like, we were really going to miss you guys. We love your contribution. And it was actually really nice, but it wasn't intended to be that way whatsoever. But it was kind of more just to have some fun and actually poke more fun at the Cubs fans, if anything. So we got some comments from Cubs fans, too. And actually, most guys, most Cubs fans that commented were actually like, "Dude, that's pretty fun." So it was all in good spirit all the way around.
Describe your love-hate relationship with the game of baseball.
Love-hate. Love the game, love watching it, love playing it. Wish I could play it more. I hate that the season's so dang long. I hate that sometimes, you know, you kind of want to do things in your life, but the Reds game's on too, so you want to watch that. But, you know, really, you know, you kind of find a middle, and you don't kind of stray too far to the love or stray too far to the hate. And, you know, baseball's just kind of a nice, like, all-year-round, you know, interest to keep you going.
All right, Scott Rolen apparently is going to be back in the lineup after missing 9 games against the Brewers tonight.
I hadn't heard yet.
Yeah, we all know his importance in the lineup. He's got 284 average, 300 home runs, I think 7 gold gloves in 15 seasons. He's actually hit pretty well against the Brewers, mm-hmm. over 300. You know, describe Scott Rolen, his importance to the team, and how he affects other players like Joey Votto and Brandon Phillips.
You know, obviously, us, like anybody else in the Reds blog arena, like, you know, we're not in the clubhouse, and we don't see what goes on behind closed doors or at practice or even before the ball game. And so we're kind of relying on, you know, guys like John Fay or, you know, C. Trent when he was more with the team every day, to kind of provide us that perspective. And just, like, as more and more as those stories came out about how Rolen is having an effect on, obviously, Joey Votto, or even, like, a very direct way with Brandon Phillips and hustling. And, you know, the little point about Scott saying, like, "If I ever get beaned because you're hot dogging a home run," or, you know, paraphrasing, obviously, but, you know, those little effects, like as a fan, like you gotta really appreciate that. And I know that, you know, the numbers folks out there will kind of, you know, be like, well, you know, this year's an anomaly or this, that, and the other, or, you know, and I think that's, you know, a valid point in some way too. But at the same time, like, you know, the leadership has to be a component of the overall ball club. You must be providing it, because there's definitely something different about this team. And I'm glad he's on our side. I'm glad, you know, glad I don't have to watch him in a, Phillies or Cardinals uniform anymore.
Yeah, it was tough to swallow the trade, watching him play in a Cardinals uniform for so long, but it's panned out for sure.
Very much so.
OMG Reds attended the Reds 2010 Hall of Fame induction ceremony. You guys did some nice posts about that. Any highlights from that event?
Oh, shoot. One gigantic highlight. We were blown away, and I think we understood a little bit of what was going into the production and everything, just being friends with the Hall of Fame and stuff, but we had no clue that it was just going to be that immersive. And the one thing, and I think I tweeted this at some point, and it still just resonates, is like, you felt so proud to be a Reds fan. Like, our record could have been, you know, complete opposite of what it is now, but you walk out of that room and just like, wow, this is a great baseball town. It's a great team to be a fan of, and just the personalities that, you know, you read about and you see here and there, and, you know, guys like Johnny Bench and Joe Morgan, and guys from the 90 team, Barry Larkin, you know, they're right in front of you. And I ended up having a nice seat, so they literally were right in front of me at some point. I mean, it was just fantastic. And then I think the tearjerker of the night, I don't think there was anybody in that room wasn't affected by it, but there were two different spots where Barkley Anderson had a taped video message, one during the anniversary of the 75 team, yet another one as well. And both times, and it was, you know, at one hand, it's kind of sad to see where Sparky, I mean, he's getting older, and, you know, he's not in the greatest of health. Obviously, he couldn't make it, but it was just absolutely from the heart, and it just tore you down emotionally. It was really cool. I can't explain it any other way. And then to top it off, actually, I was at a table, and Ramon Hernandez was actually sitting next to me, and the guy couldn't have been any nicer. It was great chatting it up with him, and really nice guy. So it's kind of nice to have that, you know, extra fan interaction where, you know, you see these guys in the field, and, you know, don't know if guys are, you know, jerks or, you know, prima donnas or these things, and, you know, Reds, Yankees, whoever, you know, the team is, and, you know, to have a guy sit next to you and chat it up about, you know, nonsensical things. So it was a lot of fun. So the whole night, a lot of fun. Everybody just needs to make it out to this one. There's no doubt in my mind that we won't be back for the 2012. Great stuff.
Good stuff. We're currently 100 games into the 2010 season. Are you surprised by the Reds' success? What are your predictions for the rest of the season? Do you think we got a chance at the division? Do you think we're going to have to resort to the wild card? The wild card currently has 5 teams within 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised with the Reds' success?
I think I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, it plays out very slowly, obviously, the baseball season. So, you know, and you said, you know, 100 games, like, you know, it's hard to believe we've played that many already. I think if you would have said something to any of us in, like, February, yeah, I think it would have been a little bit of a surprise. But at the same time, like, as you see things develop, you know, if you ask me, like, 2 months ago, I don't think it's as big a surprise. So, you know, I think that's where the difference is at. As far as playoffs, I think, you know, like any other Reds fan, like, there's that bit of caution that you've got, you know, from having quite a few losing seasons in a row. But at the same time, like, this team's a lot of fun to root for. There's something a little bit different, you know, it's kind of what we're talking about with Scott Rolen. I think they're going to do it. I know they're going to be in the hunt. They'll itch in somehow, whether it's the wild card or, and I think a lot of people think it's probably a better chance that they'll win the division than the wild card, given there's some tough teams in the West and the East. So I can't wait. I hope it comes true.
Yeah, there's definitely something different with this team, and they've been resilient. You know, the Cardinals win 7 in a row and they hang on. It's just real cool to see them right there.
Yeah, totally agree.
Dusty Baker signed a 3-year $10.5 million contract with the Reds in 2008. We are huge Dusty Baker fans over at WAC Reds. What's your opinion of the Reds manager, and do you think they should sign him for a contract extension or wait till the end of the season?
I think we're probably not as big as Dusty Baker's fans as you are, but I think we're up there. A lot of people have a lot of great different points about managers, and you know, I don't know if anybody else could come in and really do much better with this team than Dusty has, if that, you know, makes much sense. At the same time, I really don't buy into the whole, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor situation, all that. I don't really kind of factor that into my Dusty likeness, I suppose. But I like Dusty, and I think, you know, he has his things, and just like anybody else, I want Paul Janisch to be out there a little bit more too. But at the same time, I think that he's good for this team. The team keeps on giving him votes of confidence in interviews and other things like that. Somebody said something the other day to that effect, and they should sign him. I can't remember who it was, but you keep hearing that from the players. And at the same time, I think Dusty is good for this town. And obviously, being an African-American manager in Cincinnati, and, you know, we've had the civil rights game here, I think there's a whole lot of other things that kind of come with his presence just beyond the coaching of the game that has actually been really good for the city and the team. So all combined, I like Dusty Baker.
And the extension?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I wish they were going to talk to him after the season in a way.
True.
But and they might not. They might not ink him until afterwards. Starting a conversation doesn't mean you have to end it within a certain time frame. So, I think they should be open to it, but hopefully we'll see it one way or the other after the results of the season.
Question 14 always revolves around the Hit King. What is your opinion of Pete Rose? Do his numbers speak for themselves? Does he belong in the Hall of Fame, or does he deserve to be ignored because of his problems off the field?
I think this one, when you asked about love hate, I think this Pete Rose is the love hate. He certainly is with me, and I'm of the age where I didn't see him play during the 70s and the 60s, and a lot of folks from that era, you know, have a certain opinion about him. When I was a kid, he was just about at the end of his career. He had just come back to Cincinnati, and so like all that I knew was more legend and folklore and what kind of everybody knows, you know, obviously pre, you know, the gambling situation and all that. And so, you know, I had enough built up in me that, you know, Pete was kind of God in Cincinnati. So there's a lot of me that's like, you know, he is Cincinnati, Cincinnati baseball, and it's hard to ignore. It's hard, on the other hand, to take, you know, what he did and also how his life has played out since then. And I know that's on the personal side for him, and it's away from the game, and I can see that as an argument for people that are like, you know, put him in the Hall for his stats, and yeah, his stats speak for themselves, but when it gets down to the end, it's hard to say that, you know, baseball should waive its rule just because somebody's so good. So I think I'll end on saying that I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision of that.
It works. Thanks a lot, Dan, for being on with us. Once again, omgreds.com. It's a great resource for all your Reds happenings. They do a great job at covering Cincinnati Reds. Got anything else for us?
Thank everybody that, you know, comes by our site and gets it. I think, you know, we're nonsensical on purpose. I wish we could update more and things like that. But, you know, meeting a lot of other Reds fans and a lot of folks that like what we do has been really nice. And it's just kind of a cherry on the top of the ice cream helmet sundae for the whole thing. So everybody's made it really enjoyable, and that's why we keep doing it. Yeah, just thank you. And thanks, Mike, for having us on with Whack Reds.
Anytime, man. Keep up the great work, and we'll do this again sometime. Maybe we'll talk postseason.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Take care, man.
And then they're going to eat me.